Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. All right, Saints, I want to talk about 10 signs, 10 clues that you are backsliding. 7 clues to know when your love is waxing cold. Remember the promise Jesus gave that He foretold, the prophetic word of the last days in Matthew chapter 24, 10 through 13. These words should cause each and every one who names the name of Christ to absolutely shudder. Notice Jesus says, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Notice Jesus says we must endure to the end. He's talking to His own people, and the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul echoes that. In fact, He speaketh expressly. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, which is what Jesus is speaking about in our main text there, Matthew 24, 10 through 13 that we just read. And Paul says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly or explicitly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in a hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, that's the Catholic Church right there, and commanding to abstain from meats, that's the Good Fridays of the Catholic Church, when they abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So some shall depart from the faith. That meant they were previously in the faith, otherwise they would not be able to depart from it. So Jesus is saying, the love of many shall wax cold. How do we know? How do you know? How do I know when the love of God is waxing cold? We no longer burn hot for Christ, if you will. And one of the verses we're going to cover in this list of 10 clues that indicate that you are either backslidden or you're definitely backsliding, or both, if you will, is that we are to be fervent in spirit as opposed to waxing cold in spirit. Fervent in spirit literally means to maintain zeal to the boiling point. That'll be in one of our 10 here. The first clue that we're going to list here, and this isn't not an exhaustive list, that indicates and shows that we are backsliding is when we are not choosing to spend quality time with God in prayer and in the Word of God, and each and every morning. Remember, Jesus says that if we follow Him, it has to be daily, and if it's not daily, it's not at all, because Jesus used that word, so I use it with the divine authority of the Son of God. If you're going to follow Him, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Him. There is no way for the Word of God to get into you and I unless we get into it. And Jesus said through Paul the Apostle in the end of Ephesians 5 that He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but one that is holy without blame before Him in love, and being washed by the water of the Word. Now, the pure water of the Word for the English-speaking people is the King James Bible. Make sure you're being washed in your heart and mind daily through the pure water of God's Word, and not some dirty water using a fake Bible, a counterfeit, cheap counterfeit and substitute for the real thing. So number one of the list of 10 clues that one is backsliding or backslidden is that this person, this is really at the root of it all, they're not spending time with God. That means God is not important to them. Period. It doesn't matter what the excuse is, like, well, I got to get up early and go to work. You know what? You can get up a little bit earlier and seek the face of God, and you will if you choose to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and put Jesus as the first love, the first love of your life. It's over 60 times it's been said that early morning prayer appears in the Bible. Jesus got up a great while before day and prayed, sought the Father in prayer. Mark chapter 1 verse 35, the psalmist said, early will I seek thee. And maybe Psalm 63, 1 and chapter 5 of the book of Psalms. And this is determining and deciding that Jesus Christ is going to be the first love of our life. Remember, Jesus told the Ephesian believers in Revelation chapter 2, in the beginning of that chapter, beginning in verse 1, he said, nevertheless, this is verse 4, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. See, that's what backsliding is leaving Christ as our first love. The first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. Exodus chapter 20. Also, the apostle John, in end of 1 John, verse 20 and 21, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him. That's the whole reason why we were created right there, friends, that we may know him. That is true. And we are in him, that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And what is the most dangerous threat of being idle? It's the God of self. We're either serving Jesus or we're serving self. God made us to know and worship him, and our lives will not work out correctly. In fact, they will end in irrevocable damnation if we don't put Jesus first. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Now, the second clue that to know as we examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13, 5, we will need to be examining and discerning if Jesus is our first love, and also if we are loving the brethren. We know that we have passed from death unto life because what? We love the brethren. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So an earmark characteristic of a true believer is that he will love the body of Christ. Without exception, every true believer loves all other true believers. Listen to 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. These are Bible verses that I highly encourage you to make your heritage, to make divine treasures of your life, that you learn, you read, you meditate on, you memorize, and you adhere to and live out. Amen. 1 John 5, 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone, without exception, notice, everyone that loveth him that begot, that's the Lord, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Everybody who is born of God will love all others who are born of God. We are one holy nation, according to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're one body in Christ. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, etc. We are living stones and built up a spiritual house, 1 Peter 2, 5, and holy priests to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 9, 1 Peter 2, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar, that means special, people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that comes from 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice Luke 8, 21, speaking of loving the body of Christ, which is your eternal family, not your earthly family, but your eternal family. Jesus was approached, and these people said, thy mother and thy brother brethren stand without, desiring to see thee, they told Jesus. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Jesus identifies with, as far as family members, exclusively those who hear the word of God and keep it, or that means to do it. That's Luke chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. Also notice Romans 12, 9 through 11, speaking of loving the body of Christ, which is an absolute earmark of every true believer. If you don't love the body of Christ, don't even try to tell a true believer that you are a true disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to stop to say this too on that note. One of the ways we know when somebody, either yourself or somebody else, is loving God supremely, they're going to prefer others above themselves. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, this is the mind of Christ. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, that is glory to yourself, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I want to ask you, how much time do you spend praying for others? You should have a list of at least 3 people and let that grow. And if you got to write it down, that'd be great too. And to be like a man called Epaphras, who we speak about on safeguardyoursoul.com. If you want to punch in his name, it's Epaphras, a man with only about 2 mentions in the New Testament, but with a powerful example to all of us. He prayed that the body of Christ, especially at the town of Colossus, where a church, a growing body of believers, was flourishing. He prayed that they would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. This message is not to condemn anybody. The only person I have to condemn is myself, but it is to encourage you. And we pray that the fear of God would be ignited in each of our hearts. We pray with the psalmist, Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name, that we would come to fresh repentance, and that we would put Jesus once and for all. And of course, that's a decision for today, but it's also a decision for every day, as the first love, the highest priority. That's what that means. When Jesus told the Ephesians in Revelation 2:4-5, he told them they had to repent. Notice, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. See, this is paramount to exactly what Paul is speaking about when he said some will depart from the faith. Jesus said, as we read earlier in our main text today, Matthew 24:10-13, that the love of many is going to wax cold. That means the same thing as falling away, not enduring to the end, being lukewarm, same thing. Revelation 3:16-17, Jesus told another church they were lukewarm and they were going to be spewed out of the mouth of the Lord. Now, one of the things I want to say here is there are so many false teachers today that teach this unconditional eternal security, that once you've been saved, there's no way you can lose it. These people are absolutely false teachers. Jude specifically warned us against them, that they would be the ones who would not earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, but they would turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, or a license for sin. These kind of people will never be heard preaching on the holiness of God and the fact that he commands you to be holy as he's holy. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. 1 Peter 1:15-16, Hebrews 12:14, etc. The Bible teaches that you must be born again. That's your initial salvation. But you also have to abide. That means remain and continue in Christ to the end, or you will not be saved into eternal glory. Jesus said, if you don't abide or remain in him, you're going to be cast into the fire. John 15:5-6. If you want to argue with the Son of God, go ahead. I won't be joining you. The love of many is going to wax cold. We see it happening all around us. I've got a message on Safeguard Your Soul about 4 preachers. Just put in the number 4 in the search box and then preachers that backslid. Something like that, the title. It's another audio. And I go into detail about 4 men that I knew who used to preach the gospel who no longer follow Christ. What happened to them? They didn't endure to the end. They became lukewarm and didn't repent. Jesus is not their first love. This is all Bible language. They departed from the faith. Somebody says, well, can they still repent? Probably so, but they have to repent and return to the Lord and confess their sins and be reestablished in Christ. And like the father of the prodigal son, who represents the heavenly father, God delights to restore them and desires to, but he will not force them. So the second of the 10 earmarks of a person who is backsliding is that they're not working out their salvation with fear and trembling. And as they would be doing that, if they were, God would be working in them both the will and the do of His good pleasure, and they would be loving their neighbor as Himself. The Bible says to love one another 13 times, and by this shall all men know that you are My disciples, if you have love one to another. John 13:35. And before we go to number three, notice Romans 12:9-11. Let love be without dissimulation or without hypocrisy. Let it be pure. Abhor, which means to hate, that which is evil. We could break this down into a lot more detail. Instead of having 10, we could have 20 or 30 ways or clues that someone is backslidden. One of them would be what? If we wanted to add to the list, they don't hate that which is evil. Their love is not pure. This is Romans 12:9-11. Let your love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. That means on fire. Maintaining zeal to the boiling point for the Lord is the opposite of waxing cold. The love of many, Jesus said, would wax cold in the last days because iniquity would abound. And instead of continually coming apart to the Lord every day, seeking His face in prayer and in His word and in obeying His word and worshiping and thanking Him, etc., fellowshipping with Him. In other words, they're just not loving Him first. So they have self as an idol. You will be fervent in spirit if you do these things and you seek the Lord and His strength. You seek His face continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11. If you haven't noticed, let me just say, I love to get that verse into every message. You listen to all these messages on this. If you just go to safeguardyoursoul.com/audios, or just do the drop down menu, the category drop down menu, and click audios, you have hundreds of scripture rich messages to edify you as a born again believer, as a member of the one true body of Christ, so that your love does not wax cold. You need more than that. That should be supplemental. You should have your own life with Christ, your own life in the Word of God. I can't tell you, I'm going to get off here for a minute. I can't tell you how many people, another brother and I were having this discussion this week, they are following men and they swear certain things are true, but they haven't studied the Word of God themselves. They don't have a life. Most preachers today, 90% or more of them, do not have a life in the Word themselves. They are following what they learned in school. They're following other pastors. This is all stuff that's just, much of it's just regurgitated and passes for truth, but it's really not. But they don't know that. Why? They're not in the Word themselves. They haven't ascertained everything that they're speaking or anything that they're speaking by personally studying to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. So notice the individual singular attention given there by the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy 2:15, you study, he told Timothy, you study to show yourself, you yourself approved unto God, a workman, singular, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Everybody who doesn't know Christ through His word themselves is going to be ashamed ultimately. And some of these guys can give out a great message. But for most of the people I know, and I've been to 2 Bible colleges and been around preachers for many decades, most of them do not have a life in the word for themselves, and they are in big trouble. So the Lord gave us excellent things in counsels and knowledge in His word, Proverbs 22:17-21. And the reason why He gave us excellent, have not I written unto thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge? Why? Here it is. That I might make thee know the certainty, personally ascertain something with your own two eyes on it through deep, daily, diligent study. Amen. I gave you the treasures of My word, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. You personally, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. In other words, you answer them out of a personal conviction born of deep study And the power of the teacher, the ultimate teacher, which is the Holy Ghost himself. Are you in the Word yourself, friend? Or are you just following what you've heard other people say? I mean, this week I confronted, there was a video that popped up, Charles Stanley. I mean, this guy could not be more of a devil. This guy is on record. It's on video. We got a page on him. Just look up Charles Stanley. We got the video. Don't believe me. Listen to him and see it. But then we go ahead and take to task this vile wolf on what he says and put him to task against the Word of God. He's saying that if a guy's been born again, this woman calls in and tells him that her son is now a homosexual, a sodomite. And Stanley proceeds to tell her that if this guy's been saved, he's still going to hell. I mean, are you kidding me? And this lady is just, I was having a conversation with this week on social media, swearing that this was just such a wonderful, great teacher of the Word of God. Charles Stanley, just unbelievable. She's following a man or men. She's not following Christ. There will be no effeminate man in eternal glory, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, much less a full-blown sodomite. Number 3 of the 10 clues to know that if you or someone else is backslidden, you are not denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Jesus. Now, when is the last time you heard a preacher preach on dying to yourself? And then a lot of people will go, oh, my pastor preaches that, yeah, once every, what, month or two? Like one little mention? You got to be kidding me. That's at the center of the gospel. You're not following Christ unless you're dying to yourself daily. They're shooting out all these promises, but none of them are going to come to pass. And many of you listening to me, they're not coming to pass, and they haven't, and you've been doing this for years. You know, the definition of insanity fits right here. It's a false hope. You're being sold down the river, and it's all your fault. Because if you had a life in the Word of God yourself with an honest, sincere heart, a good and honest heart, Luke 8:15, you wouldn't even be going to that foolish fellowship listening to that wolf, all these wolves you listen to on media of some sort. God's calling us to come apart and be separate from this apostate modern church, which doesn't have the cross at the center. The cross of Christ and is one, and 1A is the cross he commanded you to take up. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's non-negotiable, beloved. You've got to die. You've got to cry out with John the Baptist. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting gladder and gladder every day to cry out, Lord, you must increase. I must decrease. Have we had enough of the flesh and the dismal results that it brings? That's a rhetorical question for you to answer. Your life, my life, is not going to work out correctly unless you're seeking first the kingdom of God. And that means you're dying so he lives. That's what the water baptism that we did upon being saved was representing. Your life, you're dead now from then on. The moment you called on the Lord and were saved in repentance and faith, you're done. Thank God you're done and I'm done, right? Let Christ live. Somebody listening to me is having a hard time with a sin. You're going to be controlled by that sin until you die to self. And the Lord consumes you as you cry out to him to raise you up. Hallelujah. I could tell you this. If you're laying down your life, Christ is raising it up, and it's his divine power that's in full control of your life. Hallelujah. And once you taste and see this cross, you're going to say, thank you, Jesus. That's how the Christian life works right there. That's the power generator of everything we're instructed to do by the Lord. Hallelujah. Romans 6:7, he that is dead is freed from sin. So who is free from sin? Those that are dead. Read Romans 6, beloved. Also Galatians 5:24. They that are Christ, who are they? Here it is. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. There are so many people that will swear that they are saved. They're going to heaven. I'm going to stick with the Word of God. And I hope you do too. And I hope you declare with Paul, Romans 3:4, let God, not you or me, or some fancy, foolish preacher, let God be true in every man, beginning with ourselves, a liar. It's time to repent and go on a fast. That is the cross. You're saying, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. Colossians 3:3, you are dead, doornail dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And if you're not dead in heart, by faith and disposition, somebody says, how do I do that? Pray about it. Obey the Word of God. Let God show you. There's only so much man can say. God has to reveal it to you, and he will if you're sincere and you cry out to him that he would crucify you, that you would live a crucified life, and then being raised up by his power. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And that's not only when he comes back back and raises up to be with him, that's right now in your daily life. And that's what he taught. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. You are dead and your life is hid. That's the safest place to be, with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. Number four, the fourth clue that a person is backslidden is that they are not communicating the light of truth because they no longer fear the Lord. He's no longer the first love of their life. Their love for God has waxed cold. They have a lampshade over the light of Christ instead of letting it shine. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Isaiah 58:1, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Those who are waxing hot instead of cold for the Lord are letting his light shine through them, including preaching the word of God. Number five on our list of 10 clues to discern whether or not you are backsliding and how to get back on fire for Jesus. Instead of waxing cold, God wants you to wax hot. Nobody desires it more than him, but he's not going to force your hand. You got to submit to him willingly. Number five, you live in fear instead of faith and the joy of being with Jesus and having a relationship with him. What happened to that? "Create in me a clean heart," David said. "Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the love of God that comes through putting God first instead of self will cast out all fear. You'll have no fear. 1 John 4:16-18. "Well, brother, wait a minute. Fear is warranted because we have a pandemic going on." You need to get right if that's what you're thinking. Some people have more faith in these demonic animals that have been lying to people about this whole thing, and now they're coming up, "Well, the Delta variant, we're having a resurgence in this and that state, there's explosion of COVID cases." Are you kidding me? Whoever believes that, I've got a piece of land off the coast of Florida I'd love to sell you. Call me. I'm being a little flippant here. You got to be kidding me. How gullible of a dupe can anyone be that still believes this kind of garbage? Follow Christ, turn off the stupid idiot box, and get in the Word of God. See, that's the whole thing. You're backslidden, but I guarantee you spend hours on social media and watching TV listening to the devil's agents, but you choose not to take time to put God first. You need to repent, because as sure as you're listening to my voice, you're as sure for hell as if you were already there. Jesus is not your first love. You have departed from the faith. You are lukewarm and as sure for hell, as I said, as if you were already there, and your life, your soul, your eternal soul is dangling over the flames of eternal damnation by a spider thread. Repent now, sinner, and follow Jesus till the end of your life. Shut your mouth, get on your face, stop eating, and only drink water for the next 3 days. Stop the excuses. Repent. Number six in our list, this is not an exhaustive list, but it covers many of the essential things Scripture says are consistent in the life of someone who is rich in Christ, is not lukewarm, has not departed from the faith, has not left their first love. Their love for Christ is not waxing cold. They are enduring to the end to be saved. What is that enduring to? That means following Jesus no matter what, by faith. Hallelujah. Cutting off the hand, plucking out the eye that causes you to offend, lest your whole body be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, and where their worm dieth not. Mark chapter 9, verse 42 through 49. You got to read the King James Bible as usual on that one, because these new fake Bibles have removed that severe warning of the Son of God. Number six, you know you're backslidden when you preach promises but not conditions. Go look on a lot of these social media accounts that claim to be following Jesus. Now, there are a few good ones. In fact, I invite you to follow me on Facebook. We've got the word going out there, but we're going to preach the conditions, not just the promises. You know, the little Joel Osteen Best Life Now is seen working itself out. And so many on social media, you know, you got all these promises like, God is getting ready to turn your situation around. You know, all of these positive confessions is what it is. It's not the gospel. Let me just tell you this, for you and me, that if we're not dying to self and being planted dead and buried, planted downward, God is not going to resurrect you. That's not a suggestion. It's a command. You got to go down deep into the death of Christ. And it's only then that he's going to raise you up. Let me give you a, for instance, example. Let me see if I can go straight to the Bible, or I can go over here. I think I got a little. Yeah, it's found in Jeremiah 29. This is a passage we often hear quoted, but we only hear one part of it quoted. You'll recall, well, some of you won't, because there's so many fake, demonically butchered so-called versions of the Bible, which aren't the Bible, out there, that it sounds different with every version. The only thing that needs more than one version is a lie. Let's get into the King James Bible, the real Bible. Never mind the little pansy feminized Bibles. That's what's made a coward out of some of the people that are listening to me now. You're a moral coward. You got these smoothed down versions. You got this little butter knife you use instead of the sharp, divine, two-edged sword of the real Word of God. Jeremiah 29:11-14. Listen to this passage, and this also underscores how if you don't study the Word of God thoroughly, completely, from Genesis to Revelation yourself, you're going to be misled, because people are taking stuff out of context. But it's not only reading the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, it's owning it, memorizing, finding scriptures to memorize, meditating upon, and obeying. Jeremiah 29:11-14, "For I know the thoughts," God says, "that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of what? Peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Notice God wants to bless, but he says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of the heart." Notice what the condition is. You've got to delight yourself in Jesus. That means you're waxing hot, not cold. Hallelujah. You, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. He is so beautiful. Why wouldn't we want to? Hallelujah. So he says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God desires to bless. "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go out and pray to me, and I will hearken unto you." See, that is when they're delighting themselves in him. Verse 13, "And ye shall seek me and find me," here's the condition, "when," not before, "but when ye shall search for me with all your heart." See, God requires a first love, wholehearted worshiping of him. We can't fool the system. God knows if my heart is putting him first and not myself. So notice the condition. He wants to bless his people, and he will, "when ye shall search for me with all your heart." See, there's the condition. There's always conditions to the blessing of God. Remember, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and I abide in you, and I will abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Man, if you're abiding in me, anything you ask of me, because you're delighting in me, right? Psalm 37:4. This all goes together. It's going to be according to my will and your desire, and I'm going to give it to you. But the condition is you got to abide in me. That means living life on his terms, not your own or any other. And how are we going to know those terms if we don't study his word? And not just to know them, but that word circumcises our hearts and brings to pass the word of God in our lives by the power of the Holy Ghost and our own submission to him, and the grace of God working in us, the divine influence of God on our hearts, and the divine ability, the operational power of God in our lives through that cross life. "So you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity." In other words, I'll set you free. I'll break your chains. Somebody listening is probably, that could be, of all the people that listen to this, these messages, could very well be in bondage to sin. God wants to set you free. He tells you right here. He desires to set you free, to turn away your captivity, to break those chains. And that's going to happen never before, but when you shall search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. Again, we only hear verse 11, and to take it out of context, it's not that it isn't a promise. It is still a promise, but read the context. I'm warning you, because so many people are putting out promises but no conditions, that God requires that these conditions be met. If you got a problem with that, you got a problem with God. You need to repent. He's not going to change. You're going to change, or you're never going to experience the blessing of God, the peace of God, being set free, everything else, all of these. But forget not all his benefits, Psalm 103:2. The Lord is so good. "I'm going to turn away your captivity," says right here, "when you search for me with all your heart. And I'm going to gather you from all nations and from all places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." And that's talking about, that's a promise to Israel, but we're the Israel of God. He's going to bring us together in fellowship with himself and other beautiful believers, which we've already covered some of that earlier. So again, number six, the clue that you know that you are waxing cold instead of hot: you're not valiant for the truth. You're preaching without divine on authentication or sanctioning. You're preaching promises and positive, you know, this positive stuff, trying to have a positive mental attitude instead of preaching the word of God. And that would include preaching the promises and the conditions that have to be met non-negotiably. Jeremiah 9:3, we can go a lot of directions on this one right here, but Jeremiah suffices it to say, Jeremiah 9:3, they are not valiant for the truth. 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, not half of it, all of it. That includes the conditions that must be met. Number 7, clue that a person can know that he or someone else is backslidden is that they have little or no true fellowship with other born-again disciples of Jesus, such as we see in the book of Acts. Not according to the modern church. That's not fellowship. 90-something percent of those churches are not true fellowship. That's entertainment for the purpose of the wolf or wolves that are running them. It's a business. Let's get a clue, saints. They're more interested in making you a member in their little club, their little circus club, than they are in establishing you in the faith, Colossians 2:6 and 7, of causing you to be equipped, that is, matured for the work of the ministry and to be a disciple of Jesus. That's all scripture. And that is the ordained call for everyone that is an elder in the body of Christ. Not to reign over it and be some kind of showman on Sunday morning, but to establish people in the faith, Colossians 2:6 and 7. And also to equip them for the work of, so that they do the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. Till we all come in the unity of the faith as the body of Christ into full maturity in Christ. That's Ephesians 4. Read it, beloved. So true fellowship is seen in scriptures like Acts 2:42. Man, they couldn't get enough of Jesus, man. A lot of people today get all impressed with themselves because they go to church once a week or twice. Are you serious? That's laughable. You should be fellowship believers every day. And that's why some listening to me are backslidden. Just our point here. Notice Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's what? That's the word of God. That's what that means. The apostles' doctrine was Christ's teachings given to the apostles, which they spread to the whole world. No different than when Jesus gave them the fishes and the loaves, they spread it to the people. The apostles did. So the early church continued in four things here, and this is what true fellowship is made up of. The apostles' doctrine is right. It's law of first mention. They continued steadfastly in the word of God. That's what the apostles' doctrine means. The New Testament word of God. And then number 2, fellowship. Number 3, breaking of bread. That means eating together as Jesus did with his disciples and also doing communion together. And number 4, prayers. It's real simple. You see, but the modern church is a big bureaucracy, a business that has crowded Christ and the purity of New Testament fellowship out of it. We got a lot of stuff on that one. I won't go too deep on it right now. On the site, safeguardyoursoul.com, just go down to fellowship. I believe it'll be under the F on the drop-down menu. All right, let's close number 7 with this verse right here. Colossians 3:16 and 17. Let the word of Christ, speaking to the body of Christ, not only individually, but as members of the body of Christ corporately. That means two or more. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means abundantly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3:16 and 17. That's what true New Testament fellowship consists of. Not going to a small group and going through the pastor's little book that follows the lines of his half-truth teaching and promises without conditions and all this other false teaching. Somebody said, man, you're negative. You know what? When you get in the Word and you stay in the Word, your heart's going to become circumcised and you're going to become increasingly discerning of the modern church and see it for what it is. Not every fellowship, but most of them. The more you get in the Word of God, the less you're going to have in common with the apostate modern church. Number 8 in our list of 10 clues that make it clear that you're backsliding. Number 8, you know you're backsliding when your main thrust and identity becomes politics, not the work of the gospel. A lot of that going on. A lot of people have left the plow of the gospel, which means they departed from the faith. I mean, you just can't get around it to do politics. Now, I didn't say politics don't have a little bit to do in our lives. I believe we're to be involved civically. And number 1, prayer, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 5, etc., we're to pray specifically for those in authority. He gives us incentive. He says that you may live quiet and peaceful lives. But our whole mission is not to prop up a temporal nation. I believe personally we're to do and we're to pray for sure, nothing else. You can look more up on that topic on America. That's the category. It's safeguardyoursoul.com/America, or just go to the drop down menu under the A's, America. So Jesus said unto them, Luke 9:62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That speaks for itself. It's self-evident. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In this same gospel, Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. She did what? She looked back. Remember Lot's wife. That's Luke 17:32. That's a big old message right there to meditate on. In fact, look up Lot's wife on Safeguard Your Soul in the search box. Got some great information from the Word on that topic. So many have left the plow of the gospel and are now, you know, pretty much exclusively, you know, trying to save America. I mean, I'm no such thing as an ex-Marine, right? I love this country. I don't love it better than I love the holy nation of the body of Christ and the Lord Jesus, the King and Bridegroom of the New Jerusalem. But I want to see this nation blessed. I want to see repentance and all abortion stop. If you follow my post, you'll see all that. But our first and foremost calling is Christ and His gospel. We are new creatures and we are His ambassadors and commanded to preach the Word and to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16:15-20, 2 Corinthians 5:17-20. You are Jesus's ambassador. Your identity is the nail-scarred risen Savior first and foremost. And whenever that gets moved out of its place, your life is not going to go correctly. Make sure that you are not loving the world, because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Putting anything before Christ is idolatry. You got to repent. You are a blood bought. You're not your own. You bought with a price, the scripture says. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. You are bought with a price. You're a disciple of Jesus, not a conservative. Well, you're conservative only after the fact, if you will, politically, of your core identity, and that's Christ and Christ alone. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. That's Galatians 6:14. Number 9 in our list of 10 clues that your love toward Christ and His body, in that order, has waxed cold. When you love this world, when you spend more time on the things and the pursuits and the hobbies of this life. Again, 1 John 2:15, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. See, people that don't have Christ as the first love are not only waxing cold, they are sinful idolaters and committing spiritual adultery on the Lord. He saved you to be His bride. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25:1-13. And if your love is waxing cold, you're like one of the 5 foolish virgins who ran out of oil in their lamp. So therefore your way is not lit. You're not walking in the light anymore because you're not in the light of the Word, the light of truth. You're not seeking God daily. That goes back to our number 1 on this list of 10. You're not in the Word daily. You're not sitting at the feet of Jesus, the great bridegroom, and loving and worshiping Him. And therefore your lamp is emptying out and is already empty in some cases. And therefore that lamp can hold no light. It can't put out any light. Therefore you're walking in darkness. And many of you that are just swearing that you're saved. Wow. Somebody has once said, it's easier to deceive people than to convince them that they've been deceived. I think there's a lot of truth there, because the nature of deceit is that you don't see it. You're deceived. And you will never see it until you get in the Word. If something happens when you get in the Word gets in you and breathes, shines the light of Christ into your dark heart. Yeah, I don't care how wonderful you think you are. You're a fallen man or woman. So am I. Without the light of the Word of God, the light of Christ, by the Word of God shining in us every day, we're going to revert back to type. That's a big subject in the Bible right there. But let me just suffice it to say this. Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy Word giveth light. Wait a minute. What's the flashlight of God? The light beam from heaven is what? The Word of God. The entrance, when the words enter into your heart, the entrance of thy words giveth light. You got to keep that light on. You got to keep it just beaming into your heart. And that happens when you're in the Word of God and you're not just going through Scripture. You're studying it, you're reading it, you're pouring over it prayerfully and asking God to make it to become flesh in you and obeying it. Amen. You adulterers and adulteresses, are you committing spiritual adultery on the Lord? If he's not your first love, you are. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity, that's the deepest kind of hate, with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know, this is not saying come out, go be a monk in a monastery, go hide from the world. No, you're to go in the world and be a light to the world, but you're not to live like them. That's what come out from among them means. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, number 10, and our final on this list of 10 clues that someone, you or someone else, is backslidden. Number 10, when you spend all your money on the God of self. See, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves, Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. Lay not up, do not lay up for yourselves, treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up. So he didn't tell us not to lay up. He just told us where not to lay up. Don't lay it up on earth in temporal things. You've got temporal money. You got money in your possession and things, and you can choose to use them for the glory of God and to lay up treasure for yourself in heaven, or you can choose to waste them. It's either one or the other. Verse 20, Matthew 6, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He told you to lay up treasures in heaven, send it before you. And how do you do that? Well, you help Christians in need, namely Christians, by the way. That's what the early church did, Acts 2 and 4, etc. And also you help true gospel ministries where the word and the full counsel thereof is being preached with nothing left out. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. In other words, your treasure laid up in heaven is secure. Nothing will ever be diminished from it because God holds that treasure. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, when you're spending all your money on the God of self and continually to add comforts and accoutrements to yourself in this life, pampering yourself further, your already over-pampered self further, you know, your heart is following where you put your treasure. Do I understand that fully? No, but I can tell you it's right here. He didn't say where your heart is, there will your treasure be. Jesus said where your treasure is, where are you putting your treasure, in heaven or on earth? You wasting it on earth or ascending it ahead of yourself and loving the body of Christ and the word of God and the Lord of that word to undergird and support his word? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There are people that can't figure out why they're backslid. You know, repent and start giving to the gospel. Start helping others. Get out of your own little world like Jesus did when he left the glory of the Father and came to the earth, to this sin-cursed earth. Get up every day saying, Lord, who can I be a blessing to today? Help me, use me, Jesus, please. And then all of those people you're praying for, pray the word over their life, along with yourself. Verse 22, we're going to close here now. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, that is singly focused, thy whole body shall be full of light. When you have eyes for Jesus, the great bridegroom, and your eyes aren't looking, they aren't full of adultery, 2 Peter 2:14, where you're lusting after something, anything else other than him, you're going to be full of light. But in contrast, verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, see, if your eye is not crying out to Jesus and loving on him as the first love of your life, like a woman that loves a man, like the song, when a man loves a woman, when a man loves a woman, he has eyes for nobody else. By the way, have you heard Home Free's version of that song? Some Pharisee's going to kill me because I said that, but beautiful version, great song between a man and a woman. And that's the depiction the Bible gives us. Jesus is the great bridegroom, Revelation 19, beginning in verse 9. Also, the end of Ephesians, Jesus is the bridegroom of the bride, and the bride is preparing herself to meet him. She is being washed by the water of the word, which would include this message right here, which instructs us to make Jesus, the bridegroom, the first love of our lives. Also, the bridegroom, Matthew 25, 1 through 13. 10 virgins were engaged to him. Only 5 made it. The other 5 were shut out of the eternal bride. Bridal chamber, if your love is wax cold and you don't repent, you're going to be shut out of the eternal bridal chamber. And you're going to go to hell irrevocably. If you've been saved in the past, it's going to be worse for you than if you'd never known the way of righteousness and known the Lord himself. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Let's finish here. If you're eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If you've wondered why darkness has invaded your heart and mind and life, it's because you are in need of repenting and making Jesus the master and the first love of your life. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. It's an impossibility. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. So number 10, what are you doing with what God gave you on this earth? Are you supporting the gospel? I could tell you so. The minute percentage of people that support the gospel, and I know this by being in the ministry, it's less than far less than 1%. I hope that won't be you, my friend. I hope that you will tell the Lord today, Lord, I repent and I put you in charge of everything I have. In Acts 2 at the end and the end of Acts 4, the early church gave us the example. They sold everything they had that was excess and they gave it to the other believers in need. And then they laid their money at the feet of the apostles in Acts chapter 6. The apostles did not run off with all the loot. No, they needed to be sustained too, which 1 Corinthians 9 teaches us. But they spread it out among the people. You ever notice all these churches today? Another way we know they're so false and apostate is that, you know, they control the gold and they continue to build their own empire bigger and bigger. They could care less if Sister Mary or Brother John is having a hard time. They don't care about you. And then when you go to sign up for some help, which people have had to do in these churches, what happens? They make you fill out this huge application. It's ridiculous. Anyway, God bless you, friends. Thank you for listening. We love you. Let us know how we can pray for you. And please pray for the fruitfulness of this outreach in this last hour as we look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to go to Fresh Start with God. It's one of the main buttons on the site, safeguardyoursoul.com, and return to the Lord. Hosea 14, verse 1 and 2, return to the Lord. Come before him. He even tells you how to do it. Bring words of repentance and confession. God wants to forgive all your sins. In fact, the Bible says, 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Thank God that his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Hallelujah. That is Lamentations chapter 3, 22, 23. God bless you, friends. Thank you for listening.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.